Blog Talk Radio.
Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, Sensei! Hey, does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, Sensei! Hey, feet does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, Sensei! Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, Sensei! Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, Sensei! Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, all right, everyone, it's 10 o'clock. We know what time it is. I'm your host. We're coming to you live from the great state of Texas, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank you for listening tonight on this wonderful, cool Texas Sunday evening. I want to invite you to join us on Twitter at MajorityMMA, like us on Facebook, and I want to encourage you to hit us up on Twitter and hit us up on Facebook. We like to post news, and Facebook page occasionally has random silly shenanigans and videos, and we try to keep the Twitter feed posted with links to the latest episodes of the Majority Decision, as well as other articles and news and things in the world of MMA. So give it a follow. You won't be disappointed, I can promise you that. Fayaz, how's it going?
Going good, man. I just watched Peyton Manning and the Broncos get it done. It was good to see Peyton Manning win, you know, one for the old school there. And, man, it's going good. I'm having a good time.
Yeah, pretty. So they didn't, it wasn't a pretty win, but they got it done. And Peyton Manning got it done. And I don't know if there's been any news. I don't know. I'm assuming he won't make a decision immediately, but I guess he's done after this, right? I mean, he's going to take his ring and call it a career, I would assume.
I would think so. It's a second win. He's got 200 wins. I mean, he wears it. He wears every bit of that battle on him, and he's not even really that old, but he wears it. When you look at him, you can just tell. So, congratulations to him. And congratulations to the Denver Broncos, man, for toughing it out and their defense for hammering Cam Newton all night.
Yeah, they really did a great job, I thought, of putting the pressure on Cam. And, the defense was ready for him. And I didn't think that Denver was going to have a chance in this one.
I've never seen him get beat up that bad in a football game. I'll tell you that right
absolutely.
Now. So they did a great job shutting him down.
929-477-1077. If you're listening live and you'd like to give us a call. Also, if you're listening live on the Blog Talk website, I've got a chat window open. So if you want to send us a question through the chat, you can hit the Blog Talk page and check it out. This is the first time I'm giving this a shot. So, and again, I know you're listening live. So interact with the show. That's all we ask. Interact with the show. Give us a hand. Be a part of the show. Let's get right
to
it, man.
Let us know.
UFC Fight Night 82, Hendricks versus Thompson. And let's just walk our way up the card real quick. And the first thing I want to get to is, of course, the CM Punk Bowl, which was Mickey Gale taking on Mike Jackson, not the Michael Jackson, but another Michael Jackson, who's actually a local guy here in Texas and a fellow member of the UFC media. This fight was on the preliminary card. I didn't get to see it, but apparently there wasn't much to see. Mickey Gale gets a 45-second rear naked choke victory and gets the right to be the first guy to face CM Punk.
Yeah.
Not really much to read into this fight, is there?
Yeah.
Got two guys with not a lot of experience.
Right. And that's that's what it has to be, right? I mean, you can't put CM Punk in there with anybody who's ranked, right? We don't even know what he can do yet, so you're not going to be able to do that. So everybody's just anticipating to see him fight. So, you know, I already know he's an excellent athlete. I just want to see what type of an athlete he is when it comes to combat sport.
Yeah, I think the question is, you know, I've said this before. I've said this. Anybody who's ever asked me, you know, well, how do you think CM Punk's going to do? And, you know, my answer's always been, well, I know this. He won't lose because he wasn't prepared. Because the guy's a tireless worker, and there's no doubt in my mind that by the time it's time for him to step in the cage, he will have done everything that he could possibly do to be prepared for the fight. The question is exactly what you just said. How is it going to translate? Can he become a mixed martial artist? We know he's a fighter, but is he, as Dana White likes to say sometimes, is he an ultimate fighter? And that's the question.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out right now. Even if it's, and you got to look at it this way, right? Even if it's somebody with no experience at all, okay, or the guy's had one, two, or three fights, you know, that guy, the guy he's fighting is a mixed martial artist, right? So either way, CM Punk comes in as the freshest guy, even between him and the other guy he's fighting, because the other guy he's fighting's probably had amateur fights.
Yeah. And I'll be interested also to see if Mickey Gale comes in as the underdog.
Oh, God. I mean, I hope that's not the case. I hope they just come in dead even and we'd be good to go.
Certainly,
you know what I mean?
Dan is hoping for a big, flashy CM Punk victory.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. You know, well, you know how it's going to work. There's going to be octagon jitters, and once there's octagon jitters, you know, he'll look horrible. He'll either win or lose, and then he'll look better his second fight.
929-477-1077 is the number to call. Take a look at Josh Berkman and KJ Nunes. This was a fight that was pretty interesting to me, not at least on paper, but it was, you know, pretty one-sided type of victory. Josh Berkman, which was crazy. Apparently, he cut 18 pounds in one day.
Yeah.
To make weight.
That's a true professional right there, isn't it?
Man, talk about getting the job done. He won the battle just for cutting that amount of weight in 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that guy's been around for a long time. I don't doubt that isn't true, that he did cut that amount of weight in one day. I don't know if he actually, maybe they just called him last minute and was like, hey, we need a fill in. You know, Josh Parkman's going to be down to throw down anytime. So, you know, they called him up and he made the weight. So thank you, Josh Berkman.
You know, a couple of months ago, 1FC, which I think now they're calling themselves One Championship, one of their fighters passed away from trying to cut weight and just got dehydrated, wasn't taking
he
care
did,
of himself,
yeah.
I'm assuming. And
they've changed their rules.
They did. And when you got a guy like a Josh Berkman who's done it, you know, dozens of times, right?
Right.
But is that too much? You know, is it too much? 18 pounds, 20 pounds in one day? I mean,
does the UFC need to step in
and protect them, protect these guys from themselves?
I don't know. I think it is. I mean, but, you know, especially when a guy's 35, it might be a little much. You know what I mean? But, I mean, I guess if it's something you're used to doing or you've been doing it, or, you know, he probably doesn't do it all the time like that, so maybe that's the way to go. You know, this kid over here with, you know, 1FC, he was a young kid, you know, maybe he hadn't experienced cutting weight like that before, and it just got the best of him, right? So, you know, but they changed, you know, they changed their program over at one championship. Now, you know, now you have to, within 4 to 6 weeks of the fight, you have to report what your weight is, and they make you fight. They're going to make you fight closest to your weight category. I think. I don't think that they're allowing you to cut, you know, if you will, a whole division to make the division below you. Yeah. Does that make, if that makes any sense at all, and I'm sure it does to some people.
I just don't see them doing that in the UFC. I don't see them doing that here in America.
I don't either.
I will say this, though.
I think it'll make the fights more interesting. You'll get to see a lot of fights that you didn't see before if it's done that way. But, you know,
yeah.
I mean, just make life easier, man. Hey, look, I weigh this much. You know, give them, hey, you can cut up to 5 pounds. If you can only cut 5 pounds, everybody's going to be fighting right around their weight, right? So, I mean, I think that's fair, and I think you'll get to see some pretty interesting matchups when it's a little more even as far as weight's concerned.
What about a day of weigh-in? Think that would cure a lot
of
the problems? A day of weigh-in
would also cure a lot of the problems too. Nobody's going to cut that much weight to just to be bigger than their opponent if they have to fight the same day, because they're not going to have any energy to do it. Right? Or maybe they will,
yeah,
hoping that their opponent's going to do the same thing. So it's a they should just change the rules all around.
Fight.
If you want to do a day of weigh-in, then just do, you know, just make it, hey, you got to fight within, you know, 5-6 pounds of your weight division.
Yeah.
Or,
then if you're in 5 or 6 pounds, is that really, you know, like 5 or 6 pounds.
Well,
from...
I guess I'm saying that wrong. What I'm trying to say is, like, you know, with one fighting championship, you have to report your weight within, you know, 4 to 6 weeks of the fight actually happening. And it's got to be, right, because they want to make sure you're not cutting an extreme amount of weight. So they're actually monitoring it as you get closer towards the fight.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, you know, I think obviously fighter safety needs to be a priority as much as it can be. It's a dangerous
sport.
There's no doubt about that. And maybe sometime down the road, you know, the UFC might consider pulling the trigger on some stricter weigh-in rules. But you know, and I don't necessarily know if it's necessary at this point. I think a lot of the guys are pretty smart about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Nine.
Definitely.
At Majority MMA is the Twitter. And, of course, if you want to throw out a question or a thought into the chat room, definitely facilitate that. Moving into the main card. Man, I know I complain about it every single time they do it. They did it to me again. They gave
what?
Me six fights. They gave me six fights to watch.
But they were free.
They started it at 9 o'clock. Well, so here's my complaint. But because of that, I had to sleep through most of the co-main event and some of the Open St. Preux and Rafael Cavalcante fights, which I didn't want to do, but, man, I guess I'm just too old. I can't stay up that late, UFC. I need an earlier start time.
Well, they can't do an earlier start time. Maybe they just don't get the TV time. I don't know what it is, but they can't. I don't know. They just can't get it, so they don't do it. But
how about Mike Pyle?
Do what?
40. Mike Pyle. At 40, still getting it done, getting the TKO victory over Sean Spencer.
That is amazing. Man, Mike Pyle, God, that was amazing. And Mike Pyle, to beat that guy up so bad, to have time to stop and look at the ref and say, hey, We stopping this, or you want me to beat him up some more? Or what's the deal? I mean, that's pretty amazing, man. My pile never ceases to impress.
Yeah, and he's always rocking an absolutely killer mullet. I think the UFC should try to get some sort of a sponsorship or some kind of partnership with the Joe Dirt sequel. In my pile.
I love it. Hey, look, he shows up with the mullet. He gets it done. Okay, Mike Pyle, for the most part, you know, yeah, he loses some too. But, I mean, the guy comes in, man. He scraps, right? He still looks good. He still moves well. And he seems to get better every time he fights. So, you know, if he's able, I'm more than happy to watch him fight, mullet or no mullet.
With or without mullet?
With or without mullet. Yeah, I'm good to go.
So Joseph Benavidez got a win. He gets a decision over Zach.
Did you happen to see who was in his corner?
I did not notice.
You didn't notice that was Dwayne Ludwig?
Oh, yes, I did. You texted me. I wasn't paying attention, and then when you texted me, I was like, oh,
yeah.
Wow, yeah, you know what? There he is.
So, I don't know. I don't know.
You're right.
You know what? I don't know if it made Benavidez any better. I mean, the guy he fought was really good, man. I think it was Mikowski. That guy was really good, but you can tell that his stand-up wasn't really that well. It wasn't as good as his wrestling, and he just couldn't tie the two together when the wrestling didn't work. He didn't have anything to fall back on. So that's otherwise, man, I thought that guy fought a really good fight, and, you know, I do see something in that guy in the future.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Joseph Benavidez gets his fifth win in a row. I think he's kind of taken Chad Mendes' place probably as one of the, if not the, best fighter without a title. That might be arguable. But, I mean, following in the footsteps of Uriah Faber, the guy seems to pretty much be able to beat anybody who doesn't have a UFC championship. How does a guy like that get to the next level?
Who? You cut out for a second. I'm sorry. Yeah. I can't figure out. I was talking to a listener while that was happening, and I said, Benavidez, man, the guy's fought at 45, right? Drops to 35. I think he challenged twice for the title at 35. Once or twice at 35, couldn't do it, right? Then drops to 25, challenges twice for it, doesn't get it, you know? I think I joked, and I said, I think he's got to drop to 115 and fight the women. And then, what's left for him, right? And then the other guy said, well, he'll probably lose there too. So, I lost it at that point. I didn't know where else to go. Where else can Benavidez go? He keeps dropping weight, right? Because maybe he feels like he's too small for these divisions, and that's why it's not getting done. But is Joe Benavidez, right, is he the Kenny Florian of 125, 135? We can, right, gets all the way there and just can't get it done.
Well, I think I might be pretty certain of this. If he went down to the women's strawweight division, Joanna Jędrzejczyk would absolutely smash his face, because that's all that she does is smash
faces. She turns people's faces into hamburger meat. It's a true thing. And I mean, hamburger meat. It's not like, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of when Rocky hit the, you know, the big dead cow in the meat packing plant. You know, when he was just beating it up and he was crushing the ribs. Oh, it was just, I mean, that's what it reminds me of when Joanna Jędrzejczyk, you know, hits people in the face. It's ridiculous. But as far as Joseph Benavidez is concerned, you know, so I don't, you know, fly off too far to the extreme there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if he challenges a third time, right, and he loses again, right, because if Henry Cejudo doesn't beat Demetrius Johnson, he's got to fight Demetrius Johnson again. If he fights Demetrius Johnson and loses a third time, I mean, is, you know, where does he go from there?
Has he lost? He's lost to Dominic Cruz. Did he lose to Dominic Cruz also?
He lost to Dominic Cruz also.
So if he, even if he went up to bantamweight, there's some fresh new matchups for him. But he's not beating.
There's
Dominic
some fresh
Cruz.
Matchups for him, but he dropped to 25 because he couldn't win at 35.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, man, I don't know. He's in a tough spot.
You see what I mean? Where do you go from there? Right now,
yeah.
Now you've become the guy who's in between weights, and I can't go to this weight because everybody's too big for me at this weight, and I can't stay at this weight because I just can't get it done when I get the shot, you know. And I just don't see him beating Demetrius Johnson if they fight again, right? And then he's lost three times. Does he ever get another title shot after that?
It'd be tough to argue, especially if
unless it's somebody different, unless somebody comes in and just dethrones. Yeah, unless somebody just comes in and dethrones Demetrius Johnson, that's the only time that's going to happen. It's the only way that's going to happen.
So the next fight we want to get into just real briefly is Ovince St. Preux and Rafael Cavalcante. Man, I figured that St. Preux was going to win. What I did not figure is that Rafael Cavalcante would look like he didn't belong in the cage. I mean, maybe I'm overreacting, but I was deeply, deeply unimpressed with the way that guy fought. It was terrible.
Yeah. It was not what I was expecting. I actually had picked him to win that fight, and he completely disappointed. He completely disappointed, man. I couldn't it's almost like after a while there, he was just fighting to get through the fight and not actually try to win it.
Yeah, and Brian Sam was all over him, and rightfully so. You know, and I mean, when I criticize him, you know, I don't want it to be like, you know, because he's a fighter, I'm not. I've never been in a cage, right?
Right.
But, man, just even as a fan or just someone who has an opinion, gosh, that guy, to me, has got a, I don't know. But Bellator MMA, here he comes. I guess that's only the next step for him, right? 1-4 in the UFC. It just hasn't went probably the way that everybody would have hoped for him for it to go, you know, being a former champion in another company. And, man, I don't know, super disappointing.
Yeah.
Co-main
event. I mean,
the co-main event of the evening was Roy Nelson, Jared Rosholt. I slept through this fight, so tell us what happened.
Well, let me tell you what you missed. And I can sum it up in two words and say absolutely nothing. You missed not a thing, okay? The only thing I had to say about that fight is, Jared Rosholt, please give Peyton Manning back his head because the guy's got a game in the morning or tomorrow evening. So that's all I could really say. Jared Rosholt had he's got like six head going on, right? So, and I joke, you know, what's funny is I joked about that at one point. Roy's corner actually yelled out at him, hit him in the forehead, the forehead, the forehead. So I thought it was just kind of funny, but, you know, he took a lot of damage, took a lot of – I just don't know. And, you know, Big Country, while he couldn't knock him out, I mean, he just – you know, he beat him up. I mean, and Jared Rochelle got tired. He was kind of running towards the end. And he's still kind of a one-trick pony, man. He hasn't really evolved at all.
Yeah, Roy Nelson gets the win there and gets to live to fight another day for the UFC. Yeah, and Jared Rochelle just seemingly has to evolve a little bit more. I agree with that.
Yeah, that's
even not
it
having
is,
seen
man.
The fight, that was the same feeling before that with me. At
yeah.
least.
Every time I see that dude, you know, I want him to do better. Want him to do it. You can tell he is an athlete. He can wrestle. He's right, but you know, while a lot of the fights end up on the ground, 100% of them start standing on your feet. And if you're in front of a good striker, you know, Roy Nelson being, you know, a great jiu-jitsu guy and everything else, knows how to put it all together. And if he feels he can knock you out, he wants to not go to the ground with you, then he'll do everything he can not to go to the ground with you. Then what do you do? And Jared Rochelle didn't have an answer for that. So he needs to evolve, or I just don't see him going, you know, much further.
929-477-1077, still a chance to get in with your opinion. Let's talk about the main event. Johnny Big Rig Hendricks versus Steven Wonder Boy Thompson. And I tell you what.
I told you.
I thought that Johnny was going to be able to get a hold of him, push him against the cage, and make it ugly. And he did very briefly. But, boy, I tell you what, Thompson was just all over him with the angles and the diversity. He absolutely did. I was super impressed. And the first guy to stop Hendricks in MMA. Very impressive.
Yes. I mean, it was awesome. Everybody I know was picking Johnny Hendricks. And I said, no, man, I think Wonder Boy tears him apart. I just don't think he's ready for that style of fighter. And he used his length well. He put it together. I mean, he basically, it was a karate kickboxing clinic, and I loved every bit of it. I loved the spin sidekick right through the beard to the face, and the follow-up there with the left hook. I mean, I enjoyed all of it, and I'm glad Stephen Thompson got it done.
So the question for Thompson then now is he ready for Robbie Lawler? Is he ready for Carlos Condit? Is he ready for Rory McDonald?
Man, you know, I don't know. I think he could do it. I stick him in there with Rory, see how he does, right? If he gets past Rory McDonald, man, and, you know, everybody else is done fighting, let's give him a title shot. Right. Let's let the man have his day, because when he wins, he wins pretty impressively. So I think that's a good fight.
He's got the longest winning streak there in the welterweight division. It's at six. That's impressive. I think you got to give this guy a top two or three guy. Rory McDonald would be a great fight for him. And if he wins that, I think without question, you'd have to give him a title shot. And, man, I can't say enough about him. I was super impressed with him. He put it together. And Johnny Hendricks is a tough guy.
Yeah, he is.
Walked right through him. That's going to do it. This edition of The Majority Decision. Appreciate everybody listening. Don't forget to be right back here at 10 o'clock on Friday night on Blog Talk Radio for another edition of The Majority Decision. We are done.
We are.